Hail Cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League Podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm doing so well, Josh. Happy to be here. This is kind of a surprise episode. You know, you are sitting around doing nothing. I'm sitting around doing nothing. It's the middle of the summer.
Right.
Let's podcast.
That's true. I'm about to go on vacation for a week. You just got back from a semi-vacation. You said you were peeling paint off a wall, so...
Yeah. a friend of ours bought a big house that is also an old house, and it has lots of really gross wallpaper.
Yeah.
And for our listeners who live in homes that actually predate the founding of the United States of America, shout out 4th of July, everybody, they know how difficult it is to peel old, crusty wallpaper. So that's what I was doing for the past few days.
Excellent. And I was sitting around watching Edgar Wright movies. Actually, I saw Baby Driver, and then I was so Edgar Wright pumped that I went and watched Hot Fuzz shortly thereafter.
Oh, what a great movie!
Yeah, and I've been watching some Wimbledon, Home on the 4th of July, and Home with the Baby. I just watched.
I'm surprised you're not speaking with like a London lilt right now.
I know. I guess if I didn't get it, I worked for a UK press for a long time. And if I didn't pick it up then, working with so many Brits, I guess I'm just never going to.
No, you're never going to.
So what is this podcast, Brandon? In case you never heard the podcast before, what is this podcast?
Always Cheating is us two Americans, Josh and Brandon, longtime friends. We live in New York, and we're obsessed with Fantasy Premier League. So every week we come to you chatting about it, trying to give you some tips, talking about our teams, your teams, our special leagues. Mm-hmm. All the information you need about our podcast, you can also find at alwayscheating.com.
Right. And I'm still a little ashamed of the word obsessed. You know, it's like I don't want to admit it, you know, even though it's obviously true.
You like to hide your sports fandom under a bucket. You're so ashamed of it.
That's right. And yet I'm a bigger sports fan than you are.
Oh, by far and away. I was just going to say, well, what have I been doing this summer? Well, I watched a basketball game, which I found mildly amusing. I watched a baseball game, which I was repelled by.
Right. I've seen about 1,300 hours of sports in the last 2 months. So, yeah, it's the bigger the sports fan, the deeper the shame. Maybe that's how it works.
Yeah. So, anyway, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. We're going to be doing this all season long. I mean, not all summer long. But when the new season kicks off, we'll be here once a week, and you'll be our new best friends.
And the new season kicks off next week, Brandon, so I guess we're pretty much right back into it. I'm about to go on vacation, so we wanted to get a pre-vacation pod up. There's a lot of stuff that's just about to happen in the league, and so we thought this week we'd do something that we've never done before in the podcast, but I think it's kind of fun, and if only for the two of us, it'll be fun. And what we're going to do is we're going to predict the prices. So we're going to look at the top five goalkeepers, defenders, midfielders, and forwards from last year and try to predict their prices for the new season. We're also going to look at some of the new transfers that are coming through and try to predict the prices for them as well. And so as we talk about the transfers, it's a good way for people who haven't been following us closely to know a little bit more about those players as well. And we're planning to do all of this in like 45 minutes. So we'll see.
The clock started about 15 minutes ago.
We'll see if that's possible. So Brandon, we're the new season, you know, starts in the Premier League season starts in about a month. The site is expected to launch next week. And so we have three new teams, right? We've got Newcastle.
Huddersfield.
Right, Newcastle, which is hardly a new team.
Oh, yeah, you're going to go. I was going bottom to top. You're going to go top to bottom. You really flipped it on me.
I did. Well, you go first then, Huddersfield.
Right, Huddersfield. They definitely started out last season in the championship hot and fledgled. Can I say that? Well, they weren't so hot toward the end of the season, but somehow survived the playoffs, and here they are coming into the Premier League. The one thing I'm excited about with Huddersfield is they just signed rarely seen U.S. international Danny Williams, who is kind of a deep lying midfielder for Reading for the last couple of seasons.
And the only thing else we'll add about Huddersfield right now, and we'll certainly go into the promoted teams in later episodes of the podcast, like in more, you know, like a real deep dive into those teams. But For now, I'll just say that their coach is David Wagner, who is a former U.S. international and best friends with Jurgen Klopp. So you wonder if Jurgen's going to throw him a couple loney players right before the season starts. I wouldn't be surprised if a couple guys, I'm trying to think. We need to have our friend Steven on to talk about Liverpool, because I know there's a bunch of last season, Klopp would occasionally just play like a team of all 16-year-olds. You know? Right. So I bet some of them end up playing for Huddersfield this year.
Another quick tip about Wagner is he composed the hit song Ride of the Valkyries.
That's true. He's about 175 years old.
Well done.
The other team, yeah, so moving up the table, we've got Brighton, who finished second. I think they finished second. I can't even remember who finished second or first. You know,
they did finish second. Yeah. Newcastle won it outright.
Yeah. So Brighton, that's right. And I think there was like a dramatic, they drew at the last minute or something. So Brighton have been knocking at the door of promotion for a long time. They are managed by Chris Houghton, who is it's almost a cliche at this point to say it, but he's considered, you know, the nicest man in football. Everybody loves Chris Houghton. He's been a manager for Newcastle and Norwich and other places. And he's an African-American manager, or not African-American.
He's of African descent.
He's of African descent. Thank you. I almost went down some weird racist cul-de-sac there. So thank you for stopping.
But I reached out and I grabbed you, Josh.
Yeah, I was trying to be good, but it didn't work. And so, yeah, so Brighton is probably of the three promoted squads, it's actually the team that I need to learn the most about. So if you are a Brighton fan and you want to come on the podcast, talk about Brighton a little bit, hit us up, hailcheaters@gmail.com. That's actually true for any of the promoted squads. Email us at hailcheaters@gmail.com or reach out on Twitter or hailcheaters on Twitter. That's our handle, and facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can find us any of those places, and let us know. Even if you want to just post like a little blog post about how, you know, these are the five players to watch out for or something, we'd love to have it.
Yeah, swing by the Always Cheating blog and take a look at how desperately we need some blog content up there.
I think a poem is the last. It's like a 6-month-old poem.
A poem about Zlatan from our poet laureate Lucian Madison is up there. Check that out. So, and rounding out that group is, of course, as you mentioned earlier, Josh, Newcastle United. They're back with a vengeance. Rafa Benitez. It's
hilarious that he stayed in the championship.
It is kind of, I was warmed a little bit by it. I mean, there are so many cynical, shrewd things that happen in world football. And the fact that Benitez wanted to see that project out, I mean, I'm just implying that there were sort of magnanimous reasons why he stayed.
2 years removed from coaching Real Madrid, though. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's somewhat of a fall from grace for him. Joe Shelvey, it looks like he'll be back in the Prem. Exciting. Yep. And, of course, Dwight Gayle is coming back. I feel like you had a soft spot for Dwight Gayle when he was at Crystal Palace.
He was fantastic in the championship, too. So maybe he found his level. Maybe Gayle wants to just stay in the championship where he was happily able to score, you know, 20 goals. So, yeah, so some interesting fantasy prospects on Newcastle. It's certainly the most talented of the teams to get promoted.
Yeah, I think talking about price predictions, typically you'll see a lot of 4, 4.5, 5, 5.5s from the promoted teams, but I had this feeling that Newcastle is going to be up-priced into the season.
And DeAndre Yedlin, it'd be fun to see.
Great American right back.
Yeah, so I guess we got two again. Which is nice because we're at risk of having no American players in the Premier League next year. And so now it looks like you've got at least two.
Yeah, somehow we've gone from it's only American goalkeepers in the Prem to it's only outfielders. So interesting. We'll see how that works for us.
So the other thing we want to talk about briefly, and we really can't talk about it too much because this is a breaking story, but there is a draft league that's starting next year. A draft league for the Premier League. It looks like it's going to be running, you know, concurrently with the standard league. It's kind of confusing, but kind of interesting at the same time. Here's my American perspective on draft leagues.
Clear the lane. Josh is coming in hot.
I think they're a lot of fun. In the U.S., the draft league format is definitely the dominant format. Baseball, football. I don't actually know about Fantasy MLS. I think even Fantasy MLS uses more of a draft format, right?
Well, the Fantasy MLS that's run out of the MLS official site, like the FPL equivalent, is not a draft league. Okay. It's just how the FPL is run.
Okay, gotcha. So it can be a lot of fun. You know, the idea basically for anyone who's never played it or has never heard about it is that you, you know, I actually don't know how the site's going to do it, but if you were doing it like in your, with your friends, you would basically, everyone would randomly pick a number between, let's say you had 10 people in your league, between 1 and 10. Whoever gets one picks first, or picks 10th, picks 10th. And then usually it's in kind of a, what they call like a snake format. So you pick 10th, and then the person who picks 10th picks 11th. Person who picks first picks, you know, 20th, and so on, you know, through as many rounds as you go. I guess it'd be like 15 rounds in this case.
Right.
So then you pick up, you know, all of your players, and then you kind of have this waiver wire of players you can pick up who no one's claimed yet. It can be a lot of fun. And
last season. I played our friend Steven's Roto Premier League game, and I did a draft league with a bunch of other Fantasy and Premier League podcasters. It was a lot of fun, but it does seem that people's bandwidth in a draft setup can be challenged. So I'm curious to see how many of our listeners, and us included, Josh, if we do the draft league as well as regular FPL, and how our interest dip in and out with both of those formats.
Yeah, because I was already in about 37 leagues last year, so I don't know if I give up.
You're in 37 leagues, but you're just setting one team.
Well, exactly. That is true, but it still feels like a lot of mental energy. So I'm interested, though. Well, let's see what they do, and let's also see what they do with those chips, Brandon. They got to get rid of that auto tech.
Yeah, I mean, God, do we have to keep talking about the chips?
I'll talk about them. I want that double defense chip. Damn it. Defenders account double for 1 week.
All right, so we're on. Hey, we're coming in with a surprise podcast. However, our Patreon page remains on summer hiatus, though we thank everyone who remains a Patreon subscriber. I hope you're enjoying your extra cash flow this month. But we're trying to think of special features that we can include on our Patreon page for those who become patrons of Always Cheating. We love you out there. If you have any ideas of bonus content that we can provide to people who want to pay a special subscription, we definitely invite that. If you want more information, you can go to our Patreon page. It's Patreon, patreon.com/always cheating. You can see the various levels, that the tiers of sponsorship that we have going right now.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to be doing you know, special leagues. You know, so last year we did a knockout league. We'll be doing that again. And you know, I think we still have pins to give away, but I think we thought we'd you know, sort of ask people for any suggestions they might have. And so if you have any suggestions, not to be tedious here, Brandon, not to try anyone's patience. But once again, you can on Gmail.
I'm still listening.
You're still okay. Thank God. if only you. HailCheaters@gmail.com, Facebook.com/alwayscheating, and on Twitter we're @HailCheaters. Let us know if you have any ideas for interesting Patreon features. If you don't have any ideas, we're going to make them up. They're going to be amazing. Probably better than anything you'd come up with. But you know, if you have any ideas, let us know.
And just to be clear, our Patreon page is just to help us sort of offset the cost of us posting this podcast on a weekly basis. There is some overhead involved, and occasionally Josh and I can use that cash to buy each other a beer. This isn't big shakes, but we appreciate your support.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically to defer our SoundCloud costs. So, you know, we're pretty upfront about that.
It's all transparent.
Okay. It's all the upfront.
One last thing before we get to the price predictions. What is it, Josh?
I lost the running order. What is it?
It's our slew, our bevy of preview content that is going to be coming in the weeks to follow. All the information you're going to need to know when the game officially launches.
Right.
Teams, transfers, all that we're going to cover in weekly, whether weekly or bi-weekly or multiple times a week, regularly scheduled podcast content.
We may be doing hourly podcasts in the lead up to the season, Brandon. We might do 60 or 70 podcasts every day.
How many hours straight do you think you could do a live podcast?
I think we're going to have to do them in a round. So we're going to have to start talking, and then you're actually going to have to start talking as I'm talking, you know, and sort of like an old sea shanty. It's just going to be just 60 it's hours.
It's like a Decemberist song meets FPL podcast. I love it. Exactly.
Yeah, so we got a lot of podcasts coming up, too. And we hope to have Anders FK on. He actually won our Patreon second half league to talk about the team of his choice. Just one of the many Patreon features you can get if you join the league.
Josh's wheels are already turning on these Patreon features. I love it.
That's right. All right. So, yeah, lots of content to come. This and forgive the rusty. We actually wanted to do an early podcast just to shake the rust off a little bit. So if this seems a little sloppier.
I feel like an old bag of bones right now.
Yeah, you look like one, too.
Should we take a quick break and come back and we can actually do these price predictions?
Let's do it. Same old podcast, always cheating. All right, Brandon, price predictions. Lots of new players to come. Lots of new players being added. Kind of every day that goes by, more players are being added. We're just going to focus on the ones who've actually been added to the league. We're going to include Lacazette, who was just added today for Arsenal. We're gonna look at the top players, and we're going to make a prediction on their price. Talk very briefly about those players. We're going to get into all those players, the team previews later on in the season. And then we're going to look, as I mentioned earlier, at the top five in each position and try to predict their price. And then we're going to put all of this up on our website. So we'll share it there, and then we'll also maybe we'll take like a screen grab or something and put it on social media too, so that everyone can come and laugh at us when they see how truly wrong we were with
this all guy. The thought Tammy Abraham was going to be 13.
And so I'm looking at these, and I'm convinced that every midfielder is going to be 9 million. Like I'm just like 9 million, 9 million, 9 million, all the way down. All right, so let's start with Man City. Two players we're going to talk about are Bernardo Silva and Ederson.
Imagine how Pep is going to feel with two guys named Silva.
I know.
I guess Bernardo Silva probably goes by Bernardo.
Any thoughts on Silva?
I think he looks fantastic. He's got that driving force that KDB has, but I think he has a little more close control. And I think he's going to fit in well. And it's hard to predict at this point how it's really going to shift around the dynamic of that overloaded City midfield. But right. I think it's exciting, and I'm going to kick things off and say 8.5 for Bernardo Silva.
8.5 is what I had too. I think that 8.5. We're going to agree on that one. Yeah, 8 goals.
That's
11
the kind of debate that you could expect from Always Cheating.
It's for the kind of hard hitting debate back and forth. 8.5. It just seems like he's going to come in at that Raheem Sterling price next year. Yeah, I think that he is. I mean, he was on that great Monaco squad that, you know, they made the Champions League semis last year. So got a lot of experience. You know, the problem with bringing him in is that it's a Pep squad. So, you know, no one ever plays more than like two out of every three matches.
Rotation is just a major headache.
Yeah. So 8.5, that seems about right. How about Ederson, Eater's son?
So Benfica is kind of like if I need to make a joke about some totally ineffectual Champions League side, usually I insert Benfica. I don't think about, I don't care about Benfica.
A great club consistently makes Champions League elimination rounds.
So that does it. And also couple that with the most ginormous neck tattoo I've ever seen on this young man, Ederson. Which went well with his braces, I think.
He has braces? Is that true?
I think he had braces at some point, and I don't know if he still has them.
But when he was like 14? I mean, that's not fair, Brandon.
Yeah, he was probably playing Champions League when he was 14. Anyway, the guy looks very solid. I don't see anything that's really exciting about Ederson. Right. Obviously, he is a keeper of top quality if he's... Yeah. Clearly been brought in to be the starting keeper at Man City, right. And our pal Willie Caballero has been shipped out. I don't know where that leaves Joe Hart, but I mean, if you're looking
out on the outside looking in, for sure.
I guess I'll say this: City, if Pep is getting the team more in order, you can presumably expect more clean sheets. And if Ederson is, if the goalkeeping position is one of the more consistent starts, that makes him kind of appealing in my FPL squad.
18 clean sheets and 27 appearances is pretty darn impressive. I feel like, at 23, he's definitely old enough to slot in right away. This isn't like, some keeper that they're brought in to groom and to take over the position. He's certainly, 23 probably puts him right in the kind of middle range for Premier League keepers. We'll see. It does seem like that position's been a little cursed for. The City just need to keep shoring up that defense. I think they'll continue to as the season goes on. It's interesting that they haven't made a big defensive signing yet. Maybe they're still going to come in for like a Van Dijk or something like that.
They really might. Yeah, Van Dijk has been the odd transfer saga for the last like half a year. Everyone assumed he was going to.
Yeah.
Go somewhere during the last January window.
They kind of need a fullback too, don't they? So I don't know. A lot could still happen with the squad.
I'm thinking 5.5 because Ederson will be new to the league, but I would not be shocked at all if he comes in at 6.0.
All right. So what's your prediction?
I'm going to go 5.5.
Me too. We agree twice.
Okay, the beat rolls on. Well, City doesn't really offer a lot for the imagination as far
keepers
as
keepers are. I think that's the only keep on our list. Keepers are kind of boring. It's easy to, you have a range of like 4.5 to 5.5, basically.
Right. Okay. Well, Liverpool, we have one transfer to talk about here, and that's Mo Salah. We all remember him from his brief stint at Chelsea. What are your feelings about Mo coming back to the Premier League?
Yeah, he was, played amazing for Roma last season, 19 goals, 15 assists in all competitions. He's basically brought in because they need another guy who can do what Sadio Mane does, which is right. Just have, blazing pace. And that team is just so much better. We saw what they were like without Sadio Mane, and he was really the only player who could do that. They're going to be in the Champions League next year. They're going to really need a player like him. I'm excited by it. It's a little bit like when De Bruyne played for Chelsea a few years ago. I think that the fact that he played, everyone at this point plays for Chelsea for about a season, gets shipped off and then joins.
All these guys are still on loan, right?
Yeah, I actually think everyone on our list played for Chelsea at some point. Even Victor Lindelof played for Chelsea. I think he slots in really well. I am going to predict 9 million.
What? No, he's 7 points. I'm going to say 7.5.
7.5?
7.5.
That seems too low.
No, I don't think it'll. I think this guy is going to be wildly inessential to our FPL teams.
At 7.5, he might be like the first player on my team if he's that cheap.
7.5 is a tough price point, I think. We could debate this for sure. But
7.5 is like a perfect third midfielder price.
Yeah, but would you rather have Gylfi Sigurdsson though over a guy like Mo Salah who?
I'm playing five defenders all season next year. With just two midfielders and the three forwards.
I do forget what an iconoclast you are. It's already been a long summer. I've forgotten.
All right, let's move on to Manchester United. Only one player to talk about, I got to confess something here, Brandon. I don't know much about Victor Lindelof.
You don't know? Big Vic?
I like that. I even wrote like full notes up for him, but I didn't learn very much. Did you watch any clips? Do you know anything about Lindelof?
I watched the standard 15 minute long techno film of all of his highlights, and it's always difficult to tell a player by those highlight reels on YouTube because obviously it's the best of, mm-hmm. and maybe this guy is prone to red cards and major mistakes. As Josh says, we're a little uneducated with Mr. Lindelof at this point. But based on what I saw in the highlight reel, this guy is a badass, and he is a big man. He is great in the air.
Only one goal last season. So great from a technical, from a defensive standpoint, maybe not so much from a.
And I believe, but based on my techno video, it looked like that goal from Lindelof was actually off of a free kick.
Oh, interesting. So, he's got like, a little Marcus Alonso in him.
Exactly. So I don't know if that was like when Robert Huth was allowed to take that free kick and he blasted it into the stratosphere, right. But actually Lindelof made it work. But he could be a set-piece threat. I don't know.
So This is 5.5 million all the way, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, paired with Eric Bailly, they could be a force to be reckoned with, with this season. But yeah, 5.5.
Yeah, what a great pairing too. I mean, that is a dangerous pairing. Like that. I mean, if he is what the hype seems to say he is, then it looks like a very just an essential signer, right? Because right, I mean, they're playing what Daily Blind in the middle, and
Phil Jones will be a really solid backup
as a backup, sure, but he can't stay healthy. You know, I mean, he makes tons of mistakes too.
And then you've got Chris Smalling, who is just.
Give me
a
break.
He's like a great championship. You're out of here.
All right. Everton. Tons with Everton. Almost.
They've been very active already.
We need a separate Everton pod just to talk about this Everton stuff. Let's start with Davy Clawson,
age
24. Davy Clawson.
That's good. I like that. We'll keep that one going. We'll see if that one can meme. Age 24, attacking mid from the Netherlands. He scored 20 goals last year, 12 assists. This is, impressive. You know, this is fodder for your FPL dreams.
Right.
So he's playing for Ajax. Yeah.
You
have to take Dutch stats with a grain of salt, don't you?
Yeah, you do. I mean, sometimes it... We've been a little burned the last couple of years with Dutch players, or players from the Dutch league, I should say. Talented players haven't panned out in the Premier League. If we're being generous,
you get a few here like Christian Eriksen or
sure. But I think exactly. And so let's hope he's more in the Eriksen mold than in the who was the Man United player's name? I'm already forgetting.
He was from the Dutch league. Oh, Memphis Depay.
Memphis. Oh, poor Memphis. How did I forget a name like that?
Memphis Depay. So do you know that he just proposed marriage to, we're really bad with names today. Who's the guy who made that gaffe at the Miss America pageant? He has a daytime talk show.
He proposed marriage to Steve Harvey?
Steve Harvey's daughter.
That's weird.
I don't know if that means it's a small world or just like a really messed up world. I can't decide. All right, we're really giving Davy the short shrift here. So I watched some highlights of Davy. We're no experts on the Dutch league. I'm a little meh on him, but I do see him slotting in for the, you know, there was a lot of turnover in that position with Kevin Morales, and then they brought in Adam Lookman.
They need someone like him, right? I mean, you can't just count on Ross Barkley. He's too up and down. He's 24. So, I think that's encouraging too. It means he's pretty established. He shouldn't make as many rookie mistakes as a younger player might.
I think if the system starts working for Ronald Koeman, and of course there's the Dutch connection there as well, he could turn out to be a great player. It's hard to predict.
What's your price?
6.5.
Interesting. I'm going more generous here. I'm guessing 7.5.
Okay.
I'm going higher on all these.
All right. Yeah. I guess I'm more as it goes. I'm the more conservative FPL player, so this kind of makes sense.
Pickford. What needs to be said about Jordan Pickford? He played great for a very. He was the best part of a bad Sunderland squad. Right. He saved many a fantasy team with his 135 saves, which were second in the league. Only 4 clean sheets, but I don't think any of us blame him for that.
I mean, despite the clean sheets, he was still racking up 3, 4, 5-point games.
Yeah, I blame Billy Jones for that.
Yes, exactly, Billy Jones. So Pickford is going to get a pretty big bump, but does he get bumped up all the way to 5.5?
I think 5. 5 seems right, given that it's Everton, too. If it was a bigger club, maybe. Uh-oh, I just called Everton a small club.
Wow. Check your mentions, Josh.
Michael Keane, another talented young player, played for Burnley last year. One of those, you know, he didn't.
Agent must be amazing because all the talk was to Manchester United. Yeah. That seemed ambitious, but they were inflating the hell out of his price tag.
Yeah, well, isn't he a former Man U youth player too?
Yeah, there was that whole narrative of him coming home.
So you know, he wasn't a big fantasy player last year because he was priced a little too high. That you know, there are just cheaper ways for one thing, you could just pick up. Heaton, right? And then you didn't really necessarily want to double up on that team because they were still conceding goals. Not at home, actually. Yeah,
particularly on the road there, but clean sheets. So we know Keane can do it, and he's really potent on set pieces. He'll probably get a few goals off of corner kicks. And I mean, I guess, yeah.
Is he starting then? Is he a starter right off the bat?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, what's his face? The captain of the team.
Jags
is going to have to take a seat. I mean, he put together a couple phenomenal performances for Everton toward the end of last season, but I think he was already on his way out. He showed his legs, his age, and I think Keane pairs with Ashley Williams pretty well. So I think he starts right off the bat.
All right. So for Keane, I guess I'm going to go five.
It's also like sorry, I totally talked over you. You're going five?
Yeah, I'm going to go five for Keane. I don't want to talk about Michael Keane. This whole podcast can't be the Keane cast.
I'm gonna get weird on you here, and I'm gonna go 5.5.
Wow, interesting. Okay, all right.
And next we have an actual goal scorer, Sandro. This just in: Sandro Ramirez, a former Barcelona first team player, but he's only 21 years old. 17 appearances for Barca before he went to Malaga last season. And 14 goals. This guy looks like a pretty good striker of the ball.
Yeah, and I'm sure they were thinking, you know, we had such a great time with Barcelona Youth League player Gerard Deulofeu. Let's run it back. Let's do it again. Let's have another fun one.
So this is a tricky one. And I'm thinking I want to go big 7.0, but I do think he's a 6.5 level striker as an unknown quantity, a young player.
I guess, you know, it depends on, you know, if Lukaku signs somewhere else, you know, before the prices are announced, maybe it's a little higher. They might go seven.
That's
just
true.
They might go seven just on that assumption. Yeah, they're pretty smart about the prices in general, I'd say. So I'll guess seven. I'll go seven.
I may have wildly undergone. I mean, you're kind of convincing me to go higher, because if it looks like he's a nailed-on starter for a team like Everton, that is,
you think 11? 11's too high, Brandon. Maybe 10.5.
10.5. I'm actually going to go 7.5 on Sandro.
Okay, I'll go 7. You go 7.5.
All right, we locked it in. All right, what's next?
All right, Bournemouth. Okay, so this is a weird thing with Bournemouth. So Bournemouth have, like, stayed in the league 2 years in a row with kind of a collection of no-names, and now they're kind of doing this, like, Premier League retread thing.
I don't like it.
I like some of it. Okay, I like two out of three of these. All right, what okay. I like, and let's do Bournemouth quick, right, because we've got some more fun stuff to come here.
Sure.
Ake, we both like, right?
Love him. Yeah. Absolutely love him. Adore him.
Just 22. Huge get for Bournemouth. Scored 3 goals on loan last season. Looked great before he got brought back to basically sit on the bench for the next 4 months as an insurance policy for Chelsea. I guess he probably got to pick up a winner's medal, right? I don't think you have to play in every game anymore to get the medal.
He just got a medal that said Geico on it.
Right. And do you even, like, feel special? I guess he was, like, with the squad, right? So I'm sure he felt... He was excited about it. So I'm going to guess, I'll go 5.0.
Yeah, it's like if a defender is on this list, they're going to be 5.0 unless you're Big Vic. So, I'll agree with you.
Yeah.
But Begovic in goal, this kind of burns me a little bit because even though he had many mistakes in him, I was always an Arthur Burich booster.
No, this is an upgrade. I love Begovic. You ever heard him talk? He's really, really intelligent guy, too, really thoughtful. I think this is a great signing for them. You know, great experience, obviously. I think he represents an upgrade. I mean, he was a great player when he was at Stoke. I used to love watching Begovic play, even when he wasn't on my fantasy team. So I'm definitely on board with the Begovic thing. I don't know what his – this is a hard price for me. I'm going to guess 4.5 for Begovic.
Okay. I think it's 5.0 for me. I think that because he's got the bona fides and Bournemouth has risen above that newly promoted squad, so now you're starting to see more solid 4.5 and 5.0 assets.
Yeah, I wouldn't raise my eyebrows. He very well could be. If he is 4.5, he's a great pickup. If he's five, I probably would want to go someone like Pickford. I mean, you have to think about that, too, is do you want to price everyone at five if you're setting the prices? And why would you ever take Begovic over Pickford, right?
Yeah, right. Okay, so then that brings us to Jermaine Defoe. And I don't understand this, particularly when you had so many goal scorers
talented
coming to the
young
floor.
Players. Yeah, I guess they just want the consistency.
More consistent than Josh King?
The king is a midfielder in theory.
In theory, but yeah. I feel like I don't know. It's a tricky one, and you know what, we're not master tacticians here, so
I'll guess he started last year at 7 million, 15 goals, 3 assists. I am going to guess 7.5 million.
I think he stays at 7.0.
Yeah, that yeah. Okay, I'll stick with 7.5, but I 7 to 7.5 is definitely the right range.
I mean, after 15 goals, it does seem kind of bizarre that his price wouldn't go up. But
he faded a lot in the second half of the season, though. If you're gonna play Jermaine Defoe next year, don't do it in a draft league format, because you're gonna be regretting it around game week 15.
Well, yeah, that could be. But the thing about
takes the king off pens, pretty good penalty taker.
I assume Defoe would only go to a club where he gets to be the star and he gets to do all of that fun stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, I don't like it at all. Okay, West Brom. Speaking of things that are
we don't like at all,
unimpressive.
Despite the fact that some of our absolute favorite listeners are West Brom fans, I think we can both agree on that.
Okay, so I'm going to have a real issue with West Brom this season, because if Jay Rodriguez and James Morrison are on the field at the same time, good luck figuring out what's going on there.
Okay, let's spend like 20 seconds on this one. Jay Rodriguez, 27 years old, injury prone, 5 goals and 2 assists in the 16-17 season. Barely played the 2 seasons before that. I'm going to go with 6 million for my price.
6.5 for me.
Okay.
6.5. That's the Rondon bump.
Yeah, and just avoid this guy.
Because I think the FPL price maestros are going to want to try to move Rondon.
Everyone knows that only defenders score for West Brom.
All right, so West Ham. Speaking of defenders, we got Pablo Zabaleta is.
I am so excited about this transfer. I just hope he plays week in and week out.
Yeah, it's tough.
He's 32.
It smacks a little bit of Rio Ferdinand going to Queen's Park Rangers, a guy who that's not truly fair. Rio Ferdinand was much more over the hill at that point than Zabs is at this point. He does have something to offer, but
I hope he plays too. If he does, I think he's a great option. I mean, if he comes in at 4.5, that would be fantastic.
Seems insane to me.
Yeah, he'll probably come in at the slightly trickier 5 million. And I think if they price Cresswell at 5 million, I think as much as they love Zabaleta, I would have to go Cresswell over. Although really, I think, you know, given the way the season's going to break, I think West Ham are going to have like 3 games out of 4 I'm thinking of who has 3 games out of 4 on the road? Isn't there someone who's got right, it is West Ham, because they
have issues with the London Stadium, yeah, so they can't play there.
So 3 out of 4 on the road. So you actually aren't going to want to bring in any defenders on that team to start. I think that if Cresswell and Zabaleta both start out at 5 next year, I think that I would have to go Cresswell over Zabaleta, as much as I love Pablo, who looks just like Mark Strong, the actor.
He does, and we do love Mark Strong. Yeah, I agree. Cresswell would be the better bet. He's younger. He's more dynamic. He'll probably be less. It's the older players, particularly if Zabs has to track people on the wing, he'll probably be getting yellow cards here and there, where Cresswell will be less prone to that. So, but yeah, I think 5.0, there is an off chance that he gets the City bump, but I think 5.0 is spot on.
All right, we got just a couple more transfers to talk about here. Arsenal, they brought in 2 players. Just today was Lacazette, 37 goals and 5 assists and 45 appearances last year. He's fairly short for a forward. He's 5.9 million. He's an interesting signing, right? I mean, what is going on with this team? Yeah, he's a player.
I don't even know what players they need or don't need.
I know. I mean, they needed a forward for sure, and he's a player they should have brought in last season when they could have had him for like $20 million cheaper. I think he's 26 years old. He just turned 26 though, so he's pretty established player. He's short, which I love. I think I mentioned that once already, but I'm gonna keep mentioning it.
You say you're 5'9", Josh?
No, I think even if I say I'm 5'8", I'm kind of stretching it. But I will always root for short players, and so it's a heartening signing for me in some ways. I mean, I know that Arsenal love to sign short midfielders, but short forwards is new.
So where does – I don't even know what's going on here. I guess Lucas Perez is going to be playing for
– Fuck Lucas Perez. Excuse me. This is not an explicit podcast. Screw Lucas Perez. I think Lacazette is a starter from day one, certainly. You don't pay $50 million for a player and not start him from day one. I mean, the question – it's impossible – I mean, okay, there's like – I don't want to get into a whole Arsenal thing right now because it doesn't serve the needs of this particular podcast. I could go on for like 30 minutes about what's going to happen, but there's so many balls in the air right now. Does Sanchez stay? Does Giroud stay? Does Ozil leave? Do they bring in, you know, Mahrez? Do they bring in, you know, any of these other French players that they're looking at? But if they just bring in Lacazette and the rest of the team stays the same, I think it could be a really interesting squad. It'd be a smallish squad in some ways up front.
But Josh, you'll have to get out like a putty scraper, one of those little paint scrapers, and you're going to have to get me off of the floor if Alexis Sanchez is playing for Arsenal at the beginning of the season.
They cannot let him sign for City. I just cannot accept that.
But he's going to go somewhere else. That guy is way too competitive to play Europa League.
If he goes to Bayern or something, that's fine. I mean, his whole, like, I'm better than this team thing, you know, did start to wear thin as the season wore on. All right, so Lacazette price, I'm going to go with $9 million, and it's a hard guy to price. I mean, it actually kind of depends on what happens with Sanchez too.
I'm going 8.5, but I do like your 9 shout. So we're just going to make it a little interesting here.
Okay, all right.
And then we have lastly Kolasinac.
Yeah, that seems close enough.
Yeah, he's from Bosnia-Herzegovina. 3 goals, 9 assists last year for whatever team he played for. Oh, Schalke. Schalke 04. I love Schalke, all you fans out there. So he plays out on the left as a defender, and it's kind of hard to tell how that impacts Arsenal's current lineup, whether that impacts Nacho, because if Wenger continues with that 3-in-the-back formation, they could switch up. Nacho could play a more central role and Kolasinac more on the wing. But yeah, he looks like he'll be a starter.
Yeah, I think so too. And so the formation part of it, I think we'll have to sort out later. But I think everyone seems to think it's a good signing. So we'll see. I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, I did not watch a lot of Schalke last year. So who knows? I'm more of a Dortmund fan. I'm going to go with $5 million.
$5 million.
That seems a little low, doesn't it, for an Arsenal? I'm going to take that back. Yeah, 5.5 million.
Yeah. All right. We're going to agree on 5.5. 5.0 is definitely kind of ludicrous for an Arsenal defender in hindsight, unless you're Kieran Gibbs or something.
All right. Last transfer.
Yeah, it's going to be Tammy Abraham. And by virtue of Fernando Llorente breaking his arm this summer, a guy like Tammy Abraham looks like he might actually get some starting minutes at the start of the season if Llorente takes that long to bounce back from that broken arm. So here we have him, 19 years old, another Chelsea loanee. But last year at Bristol City, he scored an amazing 23 goals in 40 appearances. So what do you think?
I'm excited, especially, you know, with the broken arm of Llorente. Like you said, I think he starts right off the bat. So, I don't think that changes his price too much. I mean, he's still an unproven player, right? I mean, he doesn't have any Premier League experience. I could see them pricing him at 7. I could see them pricing him at 7.
She was 19 years old.
She was only 19 years. I think 6.5 million is my prediction.
I'm going to go 6.0 on this one.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll see who the better manager is.
That's a wide range that I would – anywhere between 6 and 7, I would believe.
Just a random one. I just wanted – we don't have to predict the price, but Harry Maguire to Leicester City. That's
an interesting one. Darren Fletcher to Stoke City? That's a weird one. That's like such a lateral move.
Yeah, our friend Richard Orford on Twitter, when this move went through, he was saying like it was too exciting for Darren Fletcher at West Brom, so we had to go somewhere less exciting, which is Stoke. tons of other moves that have happened and will happen that we'll definitely get to as we preview the season to come and in our next few episodes. But Josh, I think it's time that we take a quick break and we'll come back with our final segment.
All right, that sounds good. Lightning round coming up. Same old podcast, always cheating. Brandon, we're back. We're going to look at the top five keepers, defenders, midfielders, and forwards last year. That's top five by overall points that they scored. And we're going to predict their price for next season. This is a game that I often play in my head. That now I'm going to plant
it in your head. Don't take me there.
It's a horrible place to be.
All right, goalkeepers, top five. Number one, it's Tom Heaton for Burnley.
Oh, sorry, Brandon. Sorry to interrupt you. But we're going to do this lightning round style. You know, with the transfers, I think there was more to talk about. You know, we're introducing players in that section. But this section, you know, if you're a fantasy manager, you're paying attention to the game, these should be names you know already. So let's just join into the fun. And as we predict, you try to think of a price in your own head first. See if you can beat us to your price idea.
Beat the host. Exactly. Beat the host. Okay. So as I would say, Tom Heaton, he was the top point getter last season. He finished the season at 5.1. What's your prediction?
5.0.
Okay, I'm gonna go. He gets a bump. Well, I guess he started at 4.5. Yeah, you're right. 5.0.
Yeah, you can't give a Burnley goalkeeper 5.5 million. That would be insane. Like, he can't be the same price as like Peter Cech.
Hugo Lloris, 5.5. He didn't shift at all last season.
I think he's six. I think he starts next season at six.
Interesting. I'm gonna
second. I think they're one of the favorites to win the league next year. Great defense, should get even better this coming season. I think six.
I think he stays at 5.5. Thibaut Courtois.
Six again. I'll go with six for Courtois.
I'm with you. Six for Courtois. David De Gea.
I mean, is he going to play for them next year?
The rumor mill, I kind of feel like, is slowed down there, but what does that even mean? I don't know.
Why did they not play him for any of those games down the street? That's just weird. Why didn't he play in the Europa League final or the final two games? Strange.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so assuming Mr. De Gea plays, he's priced at 5.5 or 6?
5.5.
5.5 it is. And then Peter Cech.
5.5.
All right.
Keepers are easy.
Yeah, so easy. All right. Getting slightly more complicated still. Defenders. Top defender of the season was Gary Cahill.
Now,
he finished the season at 6.7.
I couldn't freaking believe that Cahill finished on more points than Marcus Alonso. I couldn't even believe it when I pulled that number.
Cahill scored his fair share of goals near the end of the season.
I guess
bonus points as well. I think he did get his fair share there. So, but it was just by 1 point, 178 right. for Cahill, 177 to Alonso.
So he finished on 6.7. I'm going to predict 6.5.
Yeah, 6.5 for him, and then Marcos Alonso.
The question with Alonso is, does he get classified as a defender or a midfielder next year?
Yeah, I'm going to bet that he is classified as a defender,
right?
And that he comes in. This is a tough one. I think maybe he could be a 7.0. He could be a Leighton Baines level.
That's what I was thinking, too. I think 7 is the right price, which is just sad because he'll be unaffordable at that price. I mean, that's just too much money.
The only thing that saved Baines was that he was on penalties.
I think the game is, which is true. And Marcus Alonso's free kicks just aren't enough. I do hope he stays as classified as a defender, though. The game is just more fun when you have some players classified as defenders who can also attack. You know, it's just more fun to have those players as to possibly bring in. Azpilicueta finished on 6.4. I think 6.5 seems right for him.
Agreed. Kyle Walker probably going to be at Man City, as people predict, at the start of the season. How does that impact his price? He finished at 6.2 at the end of last season. He was really one of the cheaper Spurs defenders at the start of the season.
Yeah, this is a tricky one. I guess 6 is my prediction.
Yeah, agreed, particularly if he gets that City bump.
Yeah. Then Leighton Baines, who I'm actually surprised to see sneak into that top five.
Under the radar,
injured a fair amount. He ended the season at 5.8. I think he gets knocked down, though. I think he's 5.5. He's getting a little older now, right? He's got to be 33, 34.
Yeah, we're in agreement. 5.5 for Mr. Baines. But a tip of the hat. We respect you.
All right. That moves us to midfielders. First up, we've got Manchester City's starting striker, Alexis Sanchez. Okay, let's assume, you know, for now that Alexis stays in Arsenal, or stays in the Premier League for that matter. Ended the season at 11.7 million. What's your prediction for Alexis next year?
11.5. He's in the league, he's 11.5.
Wow. And still classified as a midfielder?
Yes.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because it's kind of like Rooney, where near the end, Rooney was kind of playing as almost an attacking mid more than a forward, and he was still kind of getting classified in that forward category.
I mean, Sanchez did have that stint at the start of the season where he wasn't out and out striker that's for true. Wenger, but he did get pushed out to the wing toward the second half. So I think that holds true.
I'm going to go with 11. You just don't see 11.5 as a midfielder price very often. That seems a little too high.
It is really high, but it's two seasons on the trot. He's just had amazing point hauls, and I think he'll be a must-have, and he'll have to be priced accordingly. So.
Yeah, that's fair. They like to punish you for, you know, if there's a player they know is going to be essential, they kind of stick you with a crazy price to try to.
You're right. 11.5 is somewhat unprecedented, but
yeah,
but,
we'll see.
We'll see. Okay,
Dele Alli, very interesting one. I didn't actually realize that he finished above Hazard in points. Second in points, 9.1 million. I think he's due for a big bump. I think that Dele Alli is 10 million to start next year.
Woo! I think he's 9.5 at the start of the season.
Okay, I'd buy that too. I think if he's anything below 9, he's an absolute steal.
I love that this image capture that you have from the FPL site, Josh, has a big red caution triangle next to Eden Hazard's name, which summarizes my feelings completely about this.
Yeah, he finished season on 10.5. That actually seems like a pretty good place to start him off next year.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, I agree. I want him to spitefully go down to 10, but I think 10.5 he remains.
11, if they put him at 11, which I could believe, that seems a bit high for my taste.
Yeah, agreed. Erickson. And then, Eriksen finished at 8.9. I think he definitely. I'm actually shocked that he didn't rise more last season because he was just. I think that's the Dele Alli effect because people were picking between Eriksen and Alli.
A lot of fluctuation at the end too.
Yeah, so I think that's an easy one. He's at 9.0.
Yeah, I think you're right there. That seems like the right price for him. And if he's 9.0 and Dele Alli is 9.5 or 10, then I think you got to go Eriksen next year.
Without a doubt. Yeah, absolutely. Kevin De Bruyne, 10.5 at the end of last season.
Are you a little surprised that he finished fifth? I mean, I don't know who. I don't actually know who's below him right now because I took a screenshot of this, but. I think
one of the bigger surprises when we a lot of us triggered our wild cards at the end of last season. KDB was starting to get into the midst of this patch of scoring, and you're looking at his record and you see that he was having this somewhat under the radar season.
Yeah. So let's. I'm going to go down. I'll knock him down to 10 million. 10.5 seems a little high. I thought he was a little overpriced last year.
Yeah, I think he was overpriced. And we've been talking a lot about, like, Bernardo Silva, and maybe if you see a guy like Sanchez come into that midfield, there's going to be a lot to go around in City, and I think that the FPL Towers is going to have to spread that money around. So yeah. 10.0. I don't think they'll go lower than that.
All right, and here we come to the very tricky part. Although I think by the time this podcast goes live, one of these players might not even be in the Premier League anymore. Number one, Harry Kane finished the season at 11.9 million, 224 points.
Straight golden boots.
Yep. 224 points, which actually still was 40 points below Alexis Sanchez. I mean, I need to get extra points, you know, for midfielder goals and stuff, but that's still shocking.
Harry Kane scored about like 20 goals in the last two games
because he was injured for a while. I think he's going to get the Aguero bump here. I think he's going to be 13 million.
What? I think that's too high. Gosh, is it too high?
I mean, he was unstoppable the second half of last year.
He is unstoppable. He's first in every team. He's a must have. Totally agree. I think it's 12 or 12.5. Okay, I'm going to say he comes in at 12.5.
Okay. All right. Why don't you just pick $1? Like the Price is Right.
Yeah. Oh, 13. That's insane. I think it's 12.5.
Lukaku finished at 10.1. I think he's also due for the. I feel like forwards often get a big bump because their price can only rise so much, and you know typically they start the season even higher next year. So I think Lukaku is 11 million to start next year. 10 million wouldn't be crazy.
I'm going to follow my last prediction and go 10.5.
Okay. I feel like you don't see a lot of 0.5s.
Maybe I really want to get to the showcase showdown, Jeff.
Yeah. All right. So 10.5 for Lukaku. I'm going to go with 11. I would believe.
Wait, you're 10. Saying 5. You don't see 10.5s too often?
I feel like to start the season, I don't know. No, I feel like, I don't know.
It is kind of, I might be splitting the baby here.
I mean, I actually would believe 10. I mean, Everton not playing the Champions League next year. I mean, they're not, as I said before, not a big club, Brandon.
I think Lukaku's definitely leaving Everton, though, with the amount of transfers that they're coming in with early in the season.
Yeah. We just have to assume, for the sake of argument, that he's still here. If Lukaku goes to Chelsea, he's 11 million. If he stays at Everton, he's 10.
Okay.
So my final prediction is 10.
You've got
million.
Me. You've got me on board. I'm going at 11 with Big Brown.
You go to 11, and I'm going to go 10 because I think the prices are going to come up before he joins.
Oh, tricky. That's tricky.
All right. Diego Costa looks like he's going to be playing for Atletico Madrid next year. But let's
screw this guy. I don't want to talk about this guy.
If he plays for Chelsea next year, I'll guess 10.5 million.
5.5.
No, come on. Give me a real prediction. If he still plays for Chelsea.
If he still plays for Chelsea, 10.
Okay. All right. Sergio Aguero.
It's like a pass.
Is he due for a price drop? I don't know. I mean, is Jesus going to take his minutes? He was 13 last year. It's pretty high.
Yeah, I think he definitely does take a bump. Nobody's going to buy him at 13. Market Fantasy Football Scout, he said this thing toward the end of last season where some of the logic behind the pricing has to be, how do you price these guys to get FPL managers to want to bring them into their team? And a guy like Sergio Aguero, much beloved.
Yeah.
But I think no one would take him if he was above 12 million. I think he's going to get 11 at the best. Maybe he's 10.
Okay. I'm going higher than that. I think 11.5 million.
Okay. I don't see him getting the most of the goals for Man City next season.
So you think? So what's your prediction? 10?
10.5. I'm going to go 10.5.
Okay, which means he's going to come in at 11. and then Jermaine Defoe, we already talked about, and I think what did we predict? I think I said 7.5, and you said 7, right?
Yeah, I said 7. That's so hard to fit a 7.5 striker in a third. He's not going to be one of two strikers unless you're really doing some magical thinking in your midfield. He's a third striker.
Yeah,
and 7.5 is too high.
Seeing him in this top five forward list really does belie what a great season he had last year. All right, Brandon, the bonus podcast, the secret special bonus podcast, has reached its conclusion.
That's a wrap.
If you've gotten this far, listen, it's a brand new season. We know that you like the podcast, or we hope that you like the podcast. We don't know that. You may hate this podcast. It's going to be an hour-long hate listen. I hate listen to like a few podcasts a week, Brandon. Let's assume that you listen to the podcast and you like it. If you do, please share the podcast on Twitter, share it on Facebook. Send it to your friends. Help us get the word out, because even if it seems like, you know, we're a well-known podcast and established, which we are, thank goodness, but it took us a long time to get there. We're always looking to get more people to listen and keep, you know, building up the listener base. So anything you can do, even if it's just, you know, liking or retweeting the podcast when it comes out on Facebook or Twitter, that's really appreciated.
And another thing that really helps us is if you subscribe on iTunes, go to iTunes and rate us 5 stars, leave a review if you can in the iTunes store. And that's a huge boost for us. And we really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Subscribe on iTunes. We're on SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio. Every place where you can get a podcast, you can find Always Cheating. We have all sorts of links for that at alwayscheating.com. How else can people find us, Josh?
They can find us on Twitter, I mentioned earlier. Twitter's at Hail Cheaters. Facebook is facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can send us an email at any time at hailcheaters@gmail.com. And, of course, you can support the podcast on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. We'll be back. We'll have that page updated soon with new features for the new season. Looking forward to doing more podcasts. I'm hoping we can get one up next week when the prices go up. We'll see. I'm actually going to be on vacation. And Brandon, then you actually leave for another short trip yourself. So we'll see.
We're jet setters.
Yeah, if not next week, then early the following week for sure. We're looking forward to it. So hopefully I'm going to be at the airport tomorrow morning listening to myself probably once again, trying to shepherd a screaming baby through an airport. And hopefully if you've got trips for July that you're planning, this podcast gave you an hour of gentle, mild amusement.
Anything that helps me get through the taking off or landing of an airplane, I really appreciate.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, it's very, what's that? It's that John Cusack movie with the woman with the airplane. Say anything.
It's like Gross Point Blank. Is there an airplane in that one?
Say anything. That's she's very scared of the airplane.
What about Tin Cup? Wasn't there an airplane in that one too?
Yeah, but there's no Cusack in Tin Cup.
Oh, Pushing Tin. I'm thinking of Pushing Tin. Boy, we should really wrap this podcast up, shouldn't we?
All right, Brandon. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye, Josh. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Poku forever.